Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, the temperatures really are finally dropping this week. And if you haven't had the first frost, the feeling is that it isn't far off. So what is the best way to get the garden ready for the season ahead? You might want to create a more biodiverse, bird-friendly space, or you might want to spruce up the beds and the boxes. And there's still time to get your questions into us this morning on all of this. WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32 or text us on 51551. And Gardener Mary Staunton is here with me in the studio.
Claire.
Lovely to see you. Brian Burke is with us on the line, coordinator of the Irish Garden Bird Survey with Birdwatch Ireland. Hello to you, Brian.
Good morning.
Lovely to have you with us. Now, the winter coats are out today. That's a definite. And we want to talk to you, Brian, about birds. But first, because we're kind of shocked by this cold weather now, given yeah, that there were sure people going around in shorts and T-shirts last week, what should we be doing to protect the garden from the frosty?
Okay, well, the first thing that's after happening is the cold snap will get rid of the dahlias. So the dahlias will all start going mushy and that sort of thing. So you have a choice. You can take them up, or you can leave them in there and hope for the best that they don't get absolutely drowned in water for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just put a whole load of mulch, so bark mulch or something on that to protect the tuber. If it gets too much rain and too much wet, it'll just dissolve into nothing, just rot away. So the better, if you really like it, take it up. It's a bit like the allium. I brought in a really interesting allium here. It looks like tumbleweed.
It looks like something you made.
Yeah.
It's an architectural
gorgeous
structure.
Yeah, Schubertii. So it's a huge, huge, huge one, like I suppose more than a foot wide of a head. And I brought it in because loads of seeds on it. So I collect the seeds. So now it's like there's a lot of seed around. So collect the seed, put it in a brown or a little envelope and keep it for next year for sowing on.
Look
so
at you going around collecting seeds.
Honest to goodness, it's just amazing. And then you might have noticed that the grass is not drying up at all. So if you're thinking to yourself, I'll get out and I'll give the last cut to the grass, you may wait until we get a bit of a wind. It's very still out there, very stagnant sort of air.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing's really drying. It's not really a good drying of washing sort of day either. So you're going to have to wait until, if you want to give it the last cut, just wait until it dries up a bit. Get the leaves off it and then leave some leaves for obviously for insects over hibernating over the winter. But generally it's a tidy up affair, and now's the time to move stuff quickly before we get the frost, heavy frost.
Right, the clock is ticking.
It is. Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about that more in a minute. Brian, it is getting colder, as we said. Can we expect now to see more birds coming into the garden, the backyard, the patio, onto balconies, looking for a little bit of something?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm seeing it in my own garden in Wicklow at the moment. You know, Birdwatch Ireland, we were getting emails and calls for people for really saying, geez, there's no garden birds in the garden at all. And we were just kind of saying, listen, wait, when the temperatures drop a bit, you'll see the birds back pretty quickly. And we're definitely seeing that this week in particular.
So that's interesting. People were actually worried because they weren't seeing the birds and they were calling you.
Yeah, it's a common thing in the autumn, to be honest with you, and especially with the kind of the few mild years we've had now in a row, that people are kind of thinking back and thinking, you know, kids are going back to school and everything, and geez, there's no birds in the garden really. And I think the last few years have been particularly poor for garden birds in the autumn, but mm-hmm. once the temperatures drop, and sometimes that's a bit, it could be as far into December, but I've definitely noticed it now in the last week or two here.
And Brian, what is the wisdom on feeding birds? Because I often wonder about this, you know, are we supposed to be doing this? Are we interfering with nature? Should we just let them at it, or should we give them a helping hand?
The different schools of thought on that. I suppose, listen, we're interfering with nature up and down the country on a daily basis for hundreds of years now, you know, so there's definitely some birds that maybe we owe a helping hand to. You know, some people feed all year round, some people just stick to the cold weather, and that's when the birds really, really need it. You know, they benefit from it any time. It saves them energy looking for the food, but when the cold snaps really hit, that's when they want it. But the other thing I'd say is for the winter, maybe you want to have one feeder out or two feeders. Maybe you're feeding a little bit so that the birds in your kind of wider area know that there's food there. And then if you know that there's a cold snap coming up, you could put out a few extra feeders, a bit of seed on the ground and stuff like that. And the birds kind of have your garden in their mental map and they know where to go.
Peter has been in touch. You're the local restaurant, in other words, for the birds. Peter has this question, which is a good one. He lives in a new build development. Whenever I put out bird feeders, all I attract is the local magpie and the entire rook population. What can I do to get more songbirds into my garden? That's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So one of the things I'd say is don't put out seed, put out something like peanuts. If you put out seed, a magpie or a rook will very quickly cop on that they can just jump onto it, shake it around a bit, and all the seed spills on the ground, and them and all their friends are going to have a feast.
Oh, they're clever.
So I'd say put out something like peanuts, and they don't really spill on the ground at all. Smaller birds will appreciate them. Some people will get squirrel-proof feeders, which have a cage around them, but again, those crow species will just shake it. So what you can do is you can kind of anchor the feeder to the ground, as well as hanging it from a perch or anchor it to the ground, and it just means it can't shake left and right, and that should put them off. But they are very, very intelligent birds at the same time, so it ends up being a bit of a battle of the wits trying to keep them away.
Siobhan has another dilemma for you. We were given a present of a lovely bird feeder for our new small garden, but we had to get rid of it because a rat came into our garden to eat the seeds that the birds dropped. It was so disappointing because it was a joy to see the birds feeding. Is that the same solution then?
Well, that's the same solution. You just want to stop the food hitting the ground in the first place, and if you can do that, some feeders come with a tray built in, but equally you could get some super glue and kind of a picnic, you know, in those plastic kind of plates, and super glue that to the bottom, and that'll just make sure that the food stays up and out of reach of the rats, and you should be okay then.
It's like the Twits, isn't it? Super glue. Let's come back to the garden then. Lots of questions coming in. Pat wants to know, Murray, should I clear fallen leaves from my lawn? There's an awful lot of them, or should I just leave them there and let nature take its course?
Well, you're better off clearing them off the lawn, and you can put them into bags and pierce the bags and put them somewhere in the garden out of the way, because that's really good mulch. That's a really good kind of mulch for the garden next year. So it takes about between 8 months and 12 months to break down leaves, but you can run the lawnmower over them, break them up a little bit, and then. But it's not a good idea to leave them on the lawn, as really you're going to get a load of moss, you're going to get a lot of compaction, you know, that sort of thing. So just take them
off.
And
why would you bag them up? Can you not just pile them?
You could pile them, they end up blowing back, don't they?
You know?
So if you have a corral of some description, like with a bit of chicken wire or that sort of thing, you can put them in there, a bit of carpet over the top. Otherwise, use bags.
But they're still dissolving in the bag and you'll be able to use them then afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is from Patricia. I recently moved house. I took cuttings from a rose bush with me. I kept them in water for a number of weeks. I recently potted them. Should I leave them outside during the winter, or should I take them inside and should I water them throughout the winter? She really wants to keep these roses alive.
Okay. Don't leave them outside for a start. Put them somewhere in the shade, not in full sun. Generally what we do is when we take the cuttings of roses, we dig a little trench and put those cuttings in the little trench and then backfill it and leave them alone for a year. So it takes kind of a full year for them to grow their little roots and then they become viable plants. So yeah, just put them outside and just check periodically that they haven't dried out completely.
Would it be okay now in the frost over the winter?
Oh, and everything else? Not a bother.
Hardy things.
Hardy. Yeah.
What colour for flowers can I put at the base of tall planters that have box hedge shrubs in them already? I'm trying to get some colour in the garden for Christmas time.
Okay, so I suppose the ideal one is cyclamen. You know, you can put in the red cyclamen and you just deadhead the cyclamen and they last right up until we get decent temperatures in April. So that's a good long amount of months to get out of those things. Then you can put in something like little primulas, little pansies, that sort of thing. So you're going to get loads of colour. But the red is very vibrant. Red can be seen for quite a distance in a garden. So it's always a great colour to put in for Christmas. So cyclamen.
Okay, so we have the colour now, Brian. We want the birds and we want the nice birds, right?
No pressure.
No pressure at all. Where is the best place in the garden to put the bird feeder? Is there a particular place?
Yeah, so get it kind of within a metre or two of kind of trees and shrubs and stuff like that. If you put it bang in the middle of the lawn, the birds kind of have a long way to fly to it. They're going to be afraid a predator like a sparrowhawk will pop up and catch them. So if they're close to a tree or a shrub, they're going to feel safer just hopping out, getting some food and hopping back in.
So in a sheltered place. And should we put water out for them as well?
Yeah, listen, so, you know, it can be surprisingly dry some of these kind of days. So absolutely a dish of water, whether, you know, sometimes it's really cold and the water's frozen, or sometimes there actually hasn't been any rain in the winter for a few days. So they'll really appreciate a bowl of water for sure, yeah.
Now, I know you're starting your Irish Garden Bird Survey soon. So what do you want to know from people?
Yes, so that starts on Monday the 25th of November and it runs over the course of the winter, and we ask people each to count the birds that they see in their garden, make a note, you start fresh the following week, and you can send the results in to us via the post or online or whatever way suits you best. But it's really, really fun. It's really easy. It's a great one for people who love to watch their garden birds, for families, for schools, for tidy towns groups, the whole lot. And it feeds into kind of our national level monitoring to see how the species are faring each year. So we've been doing that for 35 plus years.
See what's out there and what people are seeing. We have a listener who wants you to sort out a marital problem, Murray, if you don't mind. We have a hydrangea, Annabelle. Their heads are now brown. Can you advise when I can cut them back? My wife and I can't agree.
Take them off.
Oh, who wins? Who wins, I wonder? So if it was now.
Yeah, do it now. If it was a mop head, you would leave the mop head and the lace cap on. But they're Annabelle, so you can just take those brown heads off.
Okay.
They look awful.
So someone's a winner in that house and someone is a loser. And it's all Murray Staunton's fault. Thank you so much to both of you, Brian Burke from the Irish Garden Bird Survey at Birdwatch and Murray Staunton. And we'll see you again soon, no doubt.